Today's program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Patrick Martins. This is a live edition of The Main Course. It's Sunday. It is January. I'm pretty sure of that. It is January 20th. And Joe Galarraga, you're producing and engineering today. How's it going?
It's going great.
So did you pick Tabard Inn as the sponsor because Obama is about to swear in any minute now in a private ceremony?
I think that might have been up to Jack, but how convenient.
How convenient. I mean, it is funny because the Tabard Inn is within, seeing distance of the White House. So it is a fun old hotel. And I remember when Ann and I stayed there one night, it was like we felt like we were Abraham Lincoln or some president because, you know, the room was just some massive room, you know, where it takes like 3 minutes to walk all the way to the bed. And it's all, wood that's cracking and everything like that. So very, very, very cool place. And we thank Fritzy for being a sponsor. We congratulate Barack and Michelle Obama on a second term since we're talking about that. And I'm happy the inauguration has overshadowed Gun Appreciation Day. Although I did just come back, Joe, from visiting another sponsor of ours in Colonial Williamsburg. Do you know who that is?
I'm guessing Sam Edwards?
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Surrey Farms, and he took me out to visit an old military cousin of his, and we shot guns on his range, which was kind of fun. And they were like, enjoy it now, because they're going to come in and take the guns. I was like, why don't I think that that's true? Why do I think that the government is not going to bust into your house and get into a shootout with you to take your guns? But it was kind of interesting to shoot guns, kind of scary. So Sam was a very generous host, and we ate at the Fat Canary, which was a very, very good restaurant. We had the tasting menu there. So, it was definitely fun to visit our sponsor, and we thank Sam, too, for all of his sponsorship. Today we have a really exciting show. We have Tony DeMarco in studio. Welcome, Tony.
Hi. Good to be here, Patrick.
Tony is a partner in Amphora Foods, which, among other things, manage and facilitates large olive oil transactions for Fairway. And they concentrate with Spain and Portugal. And we're going to talk about olive oil, and we're going to taste 5 olive oils, which will be very interesting. I can't wait to do that. I've never been part of an olive oil tasting. And we're sorry Steve Jenkins couldn't be here, who is a co-founder of the network, but he's going to come back. He got stuck in Italy, huh?
Yes. Yep. He had too much business.
Place.
No, in Milano. That's where he's at. Right
very now. Nice. Very nice. Not bad getting stuck in Milano. Mm. So we are going also to have Kip Michelle come in. He is the, if you've ever been to Roberta's, you've seen him. He's one of the oldest tenured employees here at Roberta's. He's the manager, and he's going to come in and taste these 5 olive oils with us. So it's interesting that we are doing an olive oil tasting today. It's been 3 years I've had the show, and yet there was something particularly good about this 2013 harvest. So how was it different from past harvests?
Well,
for 2012, I suppose.
Yes, this is the 12 and 13 harvest. It was a very unusual year, and I know, Patrick, you do some stuff about politics, and I'm sure climate change is something that you've talked about. And mm-hmm. There's a really severe climate event that happened during the harvest this past year, and in Spain, especially, they lost about 2/3 of their production.
Wow!
And
what was the? It was just too
well.
Hot?
If you remember last summer, do you remember about the forest fires in Greece, and there were forest fires in Portugal also?
Is that cloud that didn't allow Americans to return by plane?
Yes, that was part of it. Yep, okay. In Greece. Yes, and you know, it was just temperatures up to like 110, 112 degrees.
Hmm.
It hit at exactly the wrong time for the olive tree because it was the blooms can't come out in the spring, and it was there was no rain in Spain for about from the whole summer from about May to all the way through August. There was no rain at all, and that the heat and no rain killed a huge amount of the olive blossoms.
So it's similar to what happened in the States. I remember reading a New York Times article a couple of weeks ago that said 2012 was by far and away the hottest year in recorded history.
Yes.
So similar things happening in Europe as well.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, we can argue about, you know, whether or not, you know, it's you know, too much, you know, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere or if it's the tilt of the earth, but I say, you know, we can see something's happening.
Something's happening.
Yes.
And you don't think it's just the regular ins and out cycles of the planet and in history? I mean, there's something particular.
It could be both, but I say let's play it safe and try to reduce our emissions too.
All right. So what is the effect?
Well, the effect was that there just was not – when the blossoms die, the fruit doesn't come out. And what fruit did come out, everything is concentrated. There's less moisture in the olive, but more taste. So it just is an incredible year. There's a lot less product, but the taste is way more concentrated.
So describe what's happening in the tree to concentrate the effect. So I mean, if the tree is suffering,
yes,
you would think the olive oil would suffer.
Yes.
But in reality, the farmers did bad, but each bottle produced was maybe more intense.
Correct,
and
correct. It's not like an orange where, you know, you're just going to get a lousy fruit. The olive tree is really made to grow wild. It was a wild weed, basically, and it's become cultivated over, you know, thousands of years. So the farmers know how to work with it, and there is some irrigation that goes on, and they were able to just do something, you know, keep whatever they had. The tree just concentrates everything. It's got less fruit to support. So, you know, what it does push into the olive is way more concentrated.
All right, very interesting. So I would have thought that. So it's interesting when things suffer, when the environment is tough, things become more intense and better.
Well, the olive tree especially, there's an Italian saying that says, if you're bad to me, I'll be good to you. And if you're, and that's in reference to the olive tree, if you've ever been to Italy or Spain, you know that there's a certain time of year where they just hack the living daylights out of the olive trees to prune them. And they prune them way, way back, and that makes the tree just sprout new branches and it makes the tree really, really healthy. So it's a very unusual plant that's, in a lot of ways, the more severe the climate, the more severe the effects, the less water, the more intense fruit you get.
So are there fewer olives produced per tree, or are there just fewer trees that are producing any olives at all?
It's a combination of both. There's some trees won't produce anything, and some trees there'll be a great reduction. The other interesting thing that's happened is the past 4 years, there's been a bumper crop, a huge, huge crop, record-breaking crops all over Europe for about 4 years. And the trees,
in terms of quantity.
Yes, in terms of
but
quantity.
But not quality.
The quality is, the people we deal with, it's always excellent top-flight quality.
Because what, they'll cut off a lot of the olives and not use them just in the way winemakers will not use all the grapes?
There's lots of different reasons. When is the fruit harvested? How is it produced? There's all kinds of different options that the miller can throw at the olives to make them taste in a different way, just like wine. And the people that we deal with, and Steve Jenkins, and we work with him, as you said, they just do everything top flight.
So does that mean this is like a $10,000 olive oil tasting we're going to be doing today?
Not quite, but it's
close.
They're very, very special. There's things here that no one in the States has tasted yet.
Price must have gone up.
Well, you know, that's a Fairway retailing question that, you know, Steven's going to answer. how he's going to deal with that. That's up to them.
But the producers charge him more?
They did charge more.
They have to, right?
They have to, because there's less pride. It's just like anything else.
Sure.
So we had a combination of really, you know, the trees needing to rest after 4 years of a gigantic bumper crop.
Plus the drought.
Plus the drought, plus the heat. So it was very, it's like the perfect storm.
Yeah, perfect kind of storm. Year. I was just about to say it. Well, what we're dealing mainly with Spain and Portugal here.
Correct.
Right? Are they
correct.
The main olive oil producing regions in the world? I mean, Italy.
Spain is the bread basket, the olive oil basket of the world. That Spain produces more olive oil than anyone else in the world. Then, you know, Portugal is a very small amount. Italy's a small amount. Italy doesn't really have enough oil for its own population. You know, they do export some, but it's not a great amount.
Are there a lot of countries in the world that don't use olive oil at all, or is every country use olive oil in some way?
You know what's really interesting? If you look at the history of olive oil and you see where it's come from, you know, a lot of people say it's been Turkey was where, or Syria, and then it spread throughout the Mediterranean and into, you know, France. And as the Romans went, they took olives and olive trees with them all the way through the Roman Empire, all the way up to Britain. And, you know, it's just India's growing olive trees now.
Everybody.
The Chinese are getting into olive oil. It's down in South America now. So it's an incredible substance and an amazing health food. Does some amazing things for the human body, not to mention the taste when you put it with food. And
does anyone ever use non-extra virgin olive oil? Is there a call for that in gastronomy and cuisine, or is it always extra virgin?
I don't like to use it.
You don't like to use what?
I only use extra virgin olive oil for everything.
Because that's the quality. It's a higher quality. What does that mean?
Well, it's got to do with the acidity. And it's an acidity that's of a certain level. It's not really a super important thing anymore, because all of the good olive oils at Fairway and, you know, any place where you get really good olive oil is going to be extra virgin olive oil. Mm-hmm. But what you want to really be really certain of is who made that oil, and that's what Steve Jenkins is really. Concentrates on. He needs to know. Well, he's been to Spain with us, and he touches the trees, and he knows the mills, mm-hmm. and that's what we do. They're like I said, they're like family with us, and we know. Like if you're a mechanic,
yeah.
you go to a certain guy that you know.
Yeah.
If you go to a place like Costco or, you know, Walmart and get a 3 liter jug, you don't know where that olive oil came from and whether or not it's been produced with hexane. The lower quality oils draw the oil out of the end of the production with a chemical that's a cancer causing chemical in a lot of cases.
Very interesting. So how many producers do you work with?
We work with, I think, six different producers. Yeah.
And we're about to taste the olive oils in 2 minutes, but let's just talk about Steve Jenkins. Steve Jenkins was, we just did him, interviewed him for an hour to launch our Iconoclast series. And of course, he was responsible, you know, many people argue, for introducing European cheeses to America through the Dean and DeLuca counter in the late 70s, early 80s. So can you just talk to us about your experience working with him and, you know, how you respect him and what he's like to work with?
Well, Steve is a lot of fun to work with. He's as passionate about olives and olive oil as he is about cheese. And that's really saying something, because he's really crazy passionate about cheese.
The olive oil section is tremendous at Fairway. It's probably,
to tell you the truth, I think it's the best in the world. You can go to Europe and you're not going to find an olive oil section like Fairway. And I've heard that from more than one of my friends that have been to both places.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's funny because they have so many things. Those shelves are just over, you know, flowing with stuff. In every category, and yet there's something about that olive oil section where it's just intense. I mean, there's like
he's got oils from all over the world.
Yeah,
we're just a fraction of what he's got. He's got oils. He's got Mission Oil from Mexico. Mm-hmm. He's got amazing oils from Sicily and Italy and France.
Well, very good. So we're going to take a very short break, and then Kip Michelle's going to come in, one of the longest tenured Roberta's staff people. He's got a great palate, and we're going to taste five olive oils with Tony DeMarco, a partner at Amphora Foods.
You're listening to Lung by Iggy Dean on the heritageradionetwork.org.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com. Every Tuesday at 12 p.m., you can call food scientist Dave Arnold and ask any question you want.
John from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Cooking
issues. Who am I fooling? This is horrible stuff. Without glutamic acid, you die.
It is a matter of taste, but there's a lot more fat in sausage than you think.
Get ahead of the curve. Tune into Cooking Issues every Tuesday at 12 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, Joe, any more ads?
Not for now.
That's pretty good. I like Dave Arnold's ad. All right, well, we begin. We're in studio with Tony DeMarco of Amphora Foods, and we are about to start a tasting of five olive oils, which are the best olive oils in a long, long time. The perfect storm for olive oil. So which one are we going to start off with?
Well, I'm going to take you on a tour. How about that?
Very nice.
We're going to start in Andalusia, and we're going to go all the way up north to Portugal.
All right.
You ready?
Let's go.
Okay.
I brought my passport.
Okay, good. So this is a cheap flight.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I wish I could say that. This is the most expensive flight of olive oils.
Well, the first one is a very special. They're all special, but this one we worked on. It took us about a year and a half to put this together for Steven. This is this oil is from southern Spain, from Andalusia, mm-hmm. And it's the first Baena. Baena is a village in Andalusia. It's one of those white cows, you know, the beautiful, like a postcard kind of a village on a hill, and it has its own denomination of origin, its own controlled production. This oil has to come from trees in a very small area, and it's a very, very wonderful oil. You can see by the color, it's kind of a buttery, mm-hmm. kind of a color.
It's darker than cloudier than other
yes.
olive oils.
All of Steven's oils are unfiltered. We like to have unfiltered olive oil, and so does Steven, because it's got all of the product in it, all of the polyphenols, all of the chlorophyll that's really supposed to be in there.
Got it.
So,
and filtered, you lose something, but it's cleaner or something?
The color is different. You know, there's studies that say, well, it's the same, but I mean, I like to have everything. I like to get it original, you know? So sure. Less processing, the better. That's what Roberta's is all about, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so this is can be found at Fairway Baena.
Yes, it's the Baena DO oil that has the stamp from that area.
Okay.
So here you go.
Here we go. And how is it? Just we just down it? We're pouring these into little shot glasses, yes, from Roberta's. And here we go. Cheers.
Cheers. So you can just take... Now, some people will take this and, you know, slosh it around their mouth like they're tasting wine. I'm not like that.
You just shoot it straight down?
Well, I just want it to roll around on my tongue a little bit just so that it can hit all the different areas on my tongue where the different taste buds, sure, are.
Wow, it smells lemony almost.
Yes.
Mmm. Wow.
Very fruity, very nice.
Very smooth.
Very smooth. Really, really smooth. So what would this go good with? This would be good to really saute some fish in.
I was just going to say. That's awesome.
And throw some lemon. Now, Steven's big on, like, when you cook fish, he's just like garlic and olive oil and salt and pepper.
Oh, wow.
Not very much else.
So where would this be on the spectrum of olive oils? I mean, what words should we be looking to use to describe the an olive oil of this kind?
This is a smooth, sweet, fruity.
Light?
Lighter.
Yeah.
Yes, this is definitely lighter.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, it's almost like I didn't taste anything. It's almost like... It's just focus the oils already existing in my mouth. I mean, it's very light.
Did you get a little burn at the back of your throat, though,
yes,
with this?
Yes, I have a little tingle, yeah.
Okay, so that's oleocanthal.
What's that?
Oleocanthal is one of the most powerful anti-inflammatories, mm-hmm, natural anti-inflammatories. It's a polyphenol. You know, olive oil has about 200 compounds, 200 chemical compounds in it. And lots of the compounds are called polyphenols, and a lot of the medical research now, it's trying to extract just the polyphenols from olive oil and use them like in a pill as, you know, medicine. But there's also research that says, you know what, it's not as powerful when you do that as if you take it with the oil. What did you think of the fragrance?
No, it was very nice. It was lemony.
Yes.
You know, I was amazed to see it was a natural food, you know, because it was complex and simple all at once.
Shall we clean our palates and go on to the next one?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a bunch of questions as we go.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
This is... No, no. Let's taste the next one. Just so we have... Or how do we clean our palates?
You just grab a little bit of that wonderful Roberta's bread there. And just take a little bit on your tongue just to
clean it.
Yeah.
Start us back at ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, what variety of olive was that?
This is Oji Blanca.
Oji Blanca, is that?
Oji Blanca. It's a very popular Spanish olive.
Okay.
Olive. You know, there's like 6,000 varieties of olives all over the world.
Huh.
So, it's important what olive is in there, but not as important as wine. The more important aspects are the production. When was it picked? How is it processed? How's it stored? That's what's really important, more so than, you know, in a vineyard when they're...
Well, let's taste this next one, then I want to ask for some headlines on how it is produced.
Okay.
Because that's an interesting thing. I actually have no idea.
Okay.
So do we use a different shot glass?
Different shot glass, absolutely.
Yes. This is fun. People should do this at home.
Give me your glass there, young man.
Yes, sir.
This is... Now, this Fairway does not have this oil yet.
Mm-hmm.
I brought this sample. I was hoping Steven would be around, but I'm going to probably end up getting this to him.
Yeah, and it looks like we'll do another show on this when Steve is back, because you can talk forever about olive oil. It is the most commonly used ingredient in some, you know, some countries.
Now, this is from the same area, Baena, but it's not a controlled DO.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very special olive called the Pajarera olive.
Can you tag that one, Joe? Pajarera?
Pajarera.
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 Right.
And it means bird. So the birds go nuts over this olive. Okay, they nail the trees when it comes out, if, you know, if they're kind of left alone.
Right.
Some years, this is a very unusual olive because some years there's nothing, and some years there's a bunch of it. This last year, there was some Pajarera olives that came out, even under the drought conditions. So
this is very
this
rare.
Is a monovarietal. Okay, this is a monovarietal, only one olive, the Pajarera olive.
And it is a more intense, more focused, not as warm and light. This has a more pronounced smell.
Do you get a little grassy smell in there?
I do. How many olives does each tree produce? Like 10,000 or 500?
That's, you know, like how many stars are there in the sky? So that's like right up there with that kind of
different
question.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Some years it's more, some years it's less. So, how's the back of your throat now?
Well, no, that is intense. That hits the back right there. What is
peppery?
That?
That's that oleocanthal. That's the anti-inflammatory. They've said that research. There's been research done that said, a tablespoon or two of this is about equal to an ibuprofen.
Really?
Yes.
Do you recommend that people take a shot of olive oil a day?
Well, look at the people that have it big in their diet. How are they?
Yeah, they live to be like 110.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. By the way, everyone who's not here, Tony is actually 115 years old, and he looks like he's 35.
He acts like he's
35. He acts like he's 35. Oh, my God. Man. That is very good.
It's really intense, very special oil.
Why does that hit the back of my mouth more than the other one?
It's a different fruit processed in a processed in the same way, but it's just a different fruit. It's a monovarietal, so you're getting all the qualities of just that one olive. It's just, you know, slicing right through.
And so that other one that we tried, the Baena, is
a blend of a few
olive oils. So it's more the region that counts.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and the trees and the way it's produced.
Correct.
Well, since we're here, give us a just the headlines of how something is produced. So a tree is picked and then it's empty. Take us through the process from really the beginning.
Okay, well, there's various ways of picking the olives, but most of the big companies now do it mechanically with the machines that will
shake the
trees, and the olives will fall down into a net on the bottom of the trees. Very important to get the olives very quickly from the tree to the processing plant so they don't sit around and oxidize.
Okay.
So they go to the plant, and there they're crushed in a number of different ways. It's just a lot of different ways. And
the pits removed first?
Nope. They become part of the paste. And then they're usually shot into a big, if you can imagine a dryer, that's about, 20 feet long. And it's a centrifuge that revolves, thousands of revolutions per minute, and it actually squeezes the oil out of the paste. And then what's done with that oil can vary for the paste. The ones from Portugal that we're going to taste, he actually cools the paste. That preserves lots of the nutrients and the flavor too. So the idea is not to heat the paste, because heat, light, and air are the enemies of olive oil.
Heat, air, and light.
Yes. Yeah, so store your olive oil in the dark. Don't leave it out in your pantry where the sun hits it.
Because it
oxidizes. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Very interesting. And so it's shot through, and then?
Yeah, it's shot through. Then there's the liquid, the olive oil comes out. And then there's various ways that can be handled. Most of the time, it goes into a giant tank called a decanter. And then what happens is there's a huge amount of solids in that mixture. Those solids float to the bottom, they're taken out, and then you have the unfiltered olive oil. A lot of places will take, even after the decanter is done, they'll take that olive oil and run it through various disc filters, and make it really clear. And we don't like to do that.
Right, right, right.
We don't like to do that.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And how long does it sit there?
It can sit there for a couple, you know, a month, 6 weeks, until it's ready to be bottled.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the average olive oil that the Americans or, you know, people around the world will eat is 6 months old, 3 months old?
Probably in the neighborhood of 3 months.
3 months. And then when does it get too old?
You can keep it for up to 2 years, but I don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, they'll go on a trip. They'll, like, to Sicily or Italy. They'll buy some olive oil. They'll say, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to save it for 2.5-3 years.
They're confusing it with wine.
Exactly.
Use it quickly. This is not something, then, to buy in bulk. This is something to buy in smaller bottles, and you cycle in new varieties more often.
Well, I buy all of my, all of my oil. It's in my veins, so I don't know. I have a drip that I walk around with.
It's true, everyone. There's a little IV. I didn't want to say. I thought you were very sick, but since you're 110, I didn't want to say anything. So what's the third one that we, and why are some packed in glass or plastic? That
it's just the way they, it's just how to get the samples. This particular one is very interesting. So let's take a trip up north now. We're going to go from Andalusia.
Which is exactly where? It's on the coast?
It's on the coast, on the Mediterranean coast. So we're going to go from olive oil that's influenced by the Mediterranean to olives that are influenced by the Atlantic.
Okay.
Okay? So this right here, let me get this into your glass. Stephen writes all the
he's a great writer. Yeah, I awesome really recommend writer. That people go to Fairway and take a moment to read all these creative things. I mean, it's the market of signs. There's like 5,000 signs, and they're all kind of idiosyncratic. I mean, to Steve, so a lot of fun to read.
And he calls this a cult oil.
Cult oil.
Yes, this is a cult oil.
It breeds cult behavior.
Yes, it does. Like, you have to have it, and you do weird things to get it. So this oil is from Extremadura in northern Spain.
Okay.
It's from the Valle del Jerte region. The Rio Jerte runs through this valley, this beautiful valley that's like Eden. And you can just throw anything on the sides of those mountains, and it's going to grow to this incredible, it's just a perfect growing environment. They got hit also. Mm-hmm. But this is a monovarietal olive. This is the Manzanilla Catrina olive.
Are monos better than by generalizing or not necessarily?
It's the same with wine. Maybe you'll find a great one that's a monovarietal, a cab or something like that, and then maybe there'll be a blend
that works.
You like.
Yeah.
But this is a very special blend. The Manzanilla Catrina is Cáceres. Is one of the main cities in Extremadura, and it was a Roman colony. The name Ceres, it's the goddess of cereal, the Roman goddess of cereal, and of fertility and of the harvest.
Hmm.
And that city was a Roman colony. So Manzanilla Catrina.
Very nice, full, round smell. Ooh, no. This is like an olive oil that I'm more familiar with. It tastes like an olive oil that a very good one. Those first two were very unique.
It's got a sweetness to it.
Yes.
But it's also very intense. It's the back of the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Very thick.
I can taste olive in this one completely. The other one's almost shot down, and it was like airy almost. Mm-hmm. This is like, I'm an olive oil.
This makes sense.
Thick. It's maybe more from the north. It's more concentrated, or
this is a monovarietal, a very special olive. You know, the Manzanilla olives, like that you get in the store. They're these big green olives. Mm. This is a special Manzanilla olive that grows only in this place. It's really, really great.
Is it a challenge to get these olives here, or I mean, does customs? How does customs?
Well,
deal
I didn't
with
mention.
Olives?
I didn't, you know, mention my son Peter, who I'm partners with.
Okay,
he keeps him up at night to try to get these big deals done for Fairway and get them in at the right time and get them through customs.
What's the bigger challenge, getting it out of Europe or into America?
Getting them into America and getting them by the FDA with all their crazy regulations, that's a big challenge. But it's equal because there's so many steps along the way to get a big container of olive oil. And that's what we do with Fairway. We could do 40-foot, like the back of a semi-tractor trailer with them.
It seems like it goes from anarchy in Europe to bureaucracy here.
Yes.
You know, you're kind of dealing
with
both.
The bureaucracy is kind of,
more anarchic.
Yes.
Yeah, in and of itself.
Yes.
So what is the greatest challenge? I mean, would a new variety of olive, like it just has different nutrition facts and all that, so FDA would be like, yo, we will allow this olive oil in, but this is a different story, or no? I mean,
well, there's no olive. Most of the olive oil in the world is produced in Spain and in Europe. So it's not like we're putting an American company out of business. There's a very small market in California that's just starting to take off. So
pissed Steve off, right? Doesn't he have some issue with UC Davis claiming something is a real olive? What's that whole story?
Well, UC Davis did, they did a study and they pulled out a few oils from Europe and they tested them and said, well, these aren't extra virgin olive, you know, this isn't extra virgin olive oil. And what the deal was that, well, how was it stored? Where did it come from? Who are you dealing with? You know, they never said, they gave a list of the companies, and to be honest with you, they weren't the greatest of companies that they picked. And obviously it was slanted towards saying that, oh, you should buy, you know, domestic olive oil rather than, you know,
I see.
Europeans.
This almost seems to, not that I had heartburn before, but it almost seems this would cure heartburn. It would just kind of like soothe out the whole system in a way.
I made a killer bolognese with this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bolognese. So this is what you would use for this
one? It's where you want to infuse a lot of flavor. So you put a flavor into, you know, a certain dish.
Tell us the name of this one again, and if it went to Fairway, what name they would look for?
This is Gata Herdes.
Gata Herdes. Okay. We're going to take these olive oils back to Joe in the end so he can get all their names right, because he always has trouble spelling Herdes. So very, very good. So well, we have two more. What's this next one?
Okay, now we're going to go west from Extremadura. We're going to cross over the Portuguese border.
Nice. That's where my family's from. Muito bonito.
And what we're going to do is we're going to taste some olives from a very, very special mill. This is the mill of Alberto Saralha, and his company is Sociedade Agricola. And this oil is... Alberto has won several awards. He's the first company to win the Mario Salinas Olive Oil, the International Olive Oil Council award 3 years in a row.
Oh, so he's like the Gaia of olive oil.
He's like the genius.
You just poured a little bit of this one. I like it. No, I mean, maybe, no, it's a, no, no, I don't say it that way. I just mean it that was an instinct of yours maybe to pour less because it's... It's more. Is this more expensive? How much is
No,
this?
It's just good, and I don't know that you need a lot of it. This should be good enough for you to taste.
What's the average price of this bottle? I know you can't speak to this harvest, which is an unusual one, but I mean, are these going to run people $12 to $15 a bottle? Or?
Steve says that this oil should be $45 a bottle, but it's not going to be that at Fairway. It's, you know, maybe 17, something like that.
This is one of Steve's favorites.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Very grassy,
sunny,
right?
Yeah.
Very grassy. Really intense.
Yeah.
Really intense.
Ooh. Yeah, almost makes you cough. Wow. That is like a medicine, and I mean in a good way, good tasting medicine, almost medicinal. I'm almost remembering like Fernet Branca and all these kind of like Amaros. It is very, very intense.
I can see your skin glowing already, Patrick.
Oh, really?
Am I getting your eyes are sparkling.
I just added like 2 years to my life. I've just gone from 60 to 62. Let's keep tasting. Wow, that is intense.
Okay, now this, what we just tasted, was from the drums. There's 200 kilogram drums that are almost on the water now coming over the fairway of this.
Wow.
So this is this is the bulk oil. Okay. So let's.
What makes him so talented, this guy?
He grew, you know, he learned a lot from his grandfather. He grew up in, you know, in olive fields working with his grandfather. So he
just knows how hard to press, how much to age, how.
His mill is space age.
Really?
It's like you can eat off the floor.
Huh.
And he's got such incredible. He actually uses some of the older technology because he doesn't really. He's not so much concerned about the amount of oil that is going to come out. He's more concerned about the quality of the oil. A lot of companies want to get the most out. But
yeah, no. Well, I don't know if this really relates, but I just saw this quote from Helen Keller. And, you know, while we're talking about all this stuff, you know, what these guys are probably doing in Spain, she wrote, "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble. The world is moved along not only by great shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker." Which is, you know, I imagine that that quote would inspire these guys who quietly do the same thing over and over for 50, 60 years.
Yes.
And the result is that it's the best friggin' olive oil in the world, you know?
It's true. And they, you know, it's in their blood. They've been doing it since, you know, they're. For generations. And that's, again, just like your mechanic. We know you want to go to a mechanic that you know. You know when you come to eat at Roberta's, you know the ingredients are going to be the best.
Absolutely.
And you know this place. And we know all the people that we deal with, and that's and Steve knows the same.
Wow. So tell us the name one more time of this one, what people look for.
This is Cabeço das Nogueiras.
Cabeço das Nogueiras.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Very, very intense. Now, that is a good one. Yep. People, that I really do recommend. It was, it's amazing how different they all are. And I mean, they're all similar. They're all olive oils. And yet within each one is a world of difference.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's go. Okay. Number five.
The last one is from Alberto again.
Okay. Ooh, good.
From Portugal. This one, this is what he refers to as his premium Cabeço das Nogueiras.
Okay.
And
meaning it's the best one.
Well, it's the difference between the what we just tasted is going to come in 200 kilogram drums, and Fairway is going to bottle it
themselves.
This oil Alberto bottled. Okay. And you know the difference between draft beer and beer in a bottle? What would you say?
Well, I mean, the draft beer, I always want the draft beer. It's airier. The air interacts with it more. It's maybe more open, less intense.
Okay, like if you were to rate a draft beer to a bottled beer, what would you say? Like I'd give it a 10. 10 is the best beer, best one.
Well, you know, yeah, I would say there's something about draft beer that was the way beer was intended. So I would maybe give the draft a 10, and, you know, a bottle could never really reach much more than 7 or something.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. With olive oil, it's not. It's kind of the opposite.
Opposite, okay.
Yeah, the bottles might be just a little bit better. Like,
okay.
The bulk might be like a 9.5. The bottles might be a 10.
Okay.
And again, there's varieties, and you can go one way or the other. And, you know, it's kind of not fair because the oils are, it's the same oil, but it's just packaged in a different way. That does have a slight effect. So let's see.
How many bottles does he produce? I mean, do you judge it like wine and say he makes 10,000 cases a year or something?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. He sells all over Portugal, and I'm not exactly sure about the total amount. He's one of the biggest suppliers to the Portuguese olive oil market.
All right.
So this oil that you're going to taste now is his competition tank.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is this fighting oil?
This is fighting oil, and
I'll lather up my body when I go before I go see Judge Joe's tagging.
And so, when you have when you have an oil for competition, what you have to do is you have to make the oil, throw it into a tank, and then the tank gets sealed. Okay, before they sealed the tank, and they had the an independent inspector come in and seal the tank. They took some cases out, which are on their way to Fairway. So after those cases sell out, what we're hoping is that Steve is – they're saving the rest mm-hmm. of that competition tank once they open it up and submit. And they're going to – and they're we're hoping that – actually, they're saving it for Steven.
Hmm. So is this the most hardcore of the five? I mean, is this why we're ending with
well, it? Well, you know, it's just go with wine again. Like, yeah. What, it's your taste. It's there's so many variables. It's like, are you pairing with it? Well, how are you?
But we started with the light white wine, basically. I mean, the area, and then it got more intense. Yes. So this, I imagine, this is from the smell.
This
anyway.
Might be the strongest
Cabernet,
one.
Yep. Kind of like heavier. Wow. Yeah. No. That's.
This is quite intense.
Yeah, that's the muscle. Almost too much for my everyday, mm-hmm. but like if I had one dinner to make, this would be like the one that everyone would be like, wow, that olive oil was intense. Hmm. Still very good.
This would hold up to a saute really, really well, yeah. Like if you want to do a pork chop or something like that. And
I liked what you're talking about this. You know, you have three or four olive oils. Each one sits there for its own yes. when it gets its number yes. called, yes. You know, depending on the dish.
Just like the first one that we had, the Baena, might really be good on a, like an endive salad mm. with pears. And, mm. you know, then we could go all the way up if you want to infuse different flavors. It's quite interesting to have a good selection.
Very interesting. And what olive was this?
This is the Cobrancosa.
Okay.
There's two olives that grow only in Portugal. Mm. The Cobrancosa and the Gallega. And then there's some Picual and Ojiblanca, I believe, in this one, too.
Mm, very interesting. Wow. Well, I'm excited that we're going to do a number two tasting when Steve gets back.
That's
and I would love to hear Steve... loud, no-holds-barred Steve contributing like, everyone else is crap compared to this guy. You know, that's what Steve will bring to the tasting. And we were sorry to miss him. But Tony, basically you recommend that people go to Fairway to try your olive oils and look
not
for...
Not just ours, but they have a huge selection. Whatever okay. they have tasting of almost all their oils. Just go see what hits your palate and buy it. And use it. Don't save it. Just use it. Remember, it's a huge part of the Mediterranean diet. You need your, the good fats, and you're going to be healthy. Your skin's going to look great, and you're going to feel really good.
Yeah, you're the best looking 110-year-old I've ever met. And thank you so much for coming in and for taking the trouble to bring in this in.
Thank you.
Tony DeMarco, Amphora Foods, were produced and engineered by Joe Galarraga. And we will be back next week with a couple of chefs. So thanks so much for listening. And stay tuned for Straight No Chaser, hosted by Katie Kiefer.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.